Did you listen to the last ep already?
I did. It's like my favorite episode so far.
It's pretty fucking good, bro.
It's fucking funny. It's really funny.
It's our Magnus Forfish.
Yeah. Is that supposed to be a play on Magnum Opus?
Yeah, I was just imagining like a Down syndrome guy going, Magnus Forfish. I'll cut that out.
Okay, so yeah, we're recording, but we're definitely going to cut that out. But anyway, Kyle, just trying to get into the psyche of ourselves with questions that we asked in order to give the listeners out there, our beautiful, lovely listeners, that we might possibly offend with this question, an insight into what we find annoying, perhaps. So, Kyle, what's more annoying, vegans or people that are into astrology?
Definitely people who are into astrology, because you can't say it's not real or something without them, like, you know, feeling offended in some type of way.
Such a Pisces.
I'm a Sag, and like, you know, we gotta tell, we don't bullshit, you know.
You're a Bob Sag. So really, yeah.
I'm a Bob Saget.
I'm a Cap. I'm a Capri.
Okay.
I'm a Leonardo de Capricorn.
I'm a Leonardo Cappuccino.
Yeah. I'm a Leonardo Turtle.
Have you seen I sent you like a Nick Mullen stand-up special a while ago. Did you ever watch it or
no.
Like anything about it?
Probably
there's a
not.
Great there's a great joke in it, like I never understood why Ninja Turtles wore masks. Like if something happened and then like they ran away, a passerby would just be like, hey, did anybody see who just like did that or whatever? It's like,
yeah, the turtle.
Yeah, maybe the giant turtle.
Giant fucking turtle. It's even funnier too, because obviously in the cartoon they use the colors to distinguish the turtle, but in the original comic, first of all, it was black and white, but like second of all, in the colorized versions, all the masks were red, so they were just wearing masks. Like,
I did not know that.
Yeah, the original comic's really brutal too. The turtles are fucking sweet. It's one of my favorite properties.
That sounds cool, yeah, if it was more adult. Yeah. If
it
was like Bluey.
Very adult. And for what it's worth, like that 80s cartoon is very much like a product of the 80s, but the 2002 Turtles cartoon is pretty alright.
My brother was super into the Turtles. I never really got into them. My older brother was.
I like most of the video games.
Oh, yeah, I love the arcade game. I mean, it's just like that Simpsons game, a beat-em-up kind of thing.
Yeah, Konami made both.
What if I got, the same bookcase you do, and then I put, like, that same Last Friday thing, like,
that's
yeah,
a board
like,
game.
Right here?
That's a board game.
Okay.
It's basically
Friday
the
13th
board game, and it's really fun.
Okay.
It takes fucking forever, though. Like, Kristen and I got really into board games for a while, and you start to realize they get complicated as fuck, and they take hours. Like, this one has five rounds, and I think it says to set aside, like, 2 hours to play. And one person plays as the killer, while up to five people play as the survivors. And it's
that
fun
sounds
as shit.
Badass. Dude, me and my girl love board games. If you're into board games, 2 hours is nothing. So.
Yeah. I mean, fucking D&D people will play for 8 straight hours with nothing but notebooks if they have to.
Yeah.
So.
You ever play Catan?
No.
Great game.
I'm familiar with it, but no.
It's simple enough, too, to where you can, like, get new people in and just, like, start playing. I'm sure Last Friday is a little more complicated than Catan.
Last Friday isn't too complicated if you're playing Survivor, because each round you just have a clear-cut goal. Like, you're just trying to collect objects to open the cabin so you can spend the first night in the cabin, and then it goes into the next phase, which is the first daytime phase, which in the daytime, that's when the killer's vulnerable. So, but it's fucking cool, but obviously I keep it here because it fits the set, and you need people to play it, and we never have people that come over. Once I unfold it and it's like the entire size of my dining room table, people are like, eh.
Damn, yeah.
Like,
no, yeah, if you don't, if like, you know, it's rare you find a friend who's into board games and down to fucking, like, learn some shit, you know?
Down to fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's pretty cool. And I like collecting pretty much everything that has something to do with horror and spooky stuff. Like, have you played the Scream board game?
No. I've never... We bought, like, a horror board game once. Played it once, and yeah, like, I haven't really played much horror board games.
So the Scream board game is really cool because you download an app and Ghostface calls you while you're
playing. Oh, that's badass. So,
yeah, it's pretty fucking sweet. I recommend that one. There's other ones that are, like, clearly they just want, like, the Thing board game is really fucking kind of out there, and it was, they obviously
kind of like Werewolf or Mafia?
Like, no, who's... it's like a full-on board game. Are you talking about, like, a One Night Ultimate Werewolf?
Probably. Werewolf is the game of, like, one person's a werewolf, and then you just have to discuss in the daytime who you think is the werewolf and hope you kill him.
Yeah, that would have been a better way to put in the Thing, but no, it's a full-on board game with, like, pieces, and you move them around the board. So okay. I've never played it. I've, like, read through the instructions once my buddy had it. And it's obviously they owned a license and wanted to throw it out there.
So, yeah, what do you think of, like, me just having the same set as you, and then I just merge the videos together, and it's like we're sitting next to each other?
You get, like, two of the same figures. I don't know, those figures might be hard to find.
Are they all expensive now? I don't think
the Captain Spaulding is. The Michael Myers, this is like a fucking Savage World thing that I found years ago. It's in beat to shit condition. It looks kind of like a Mortal Kombat figure. I just bought it because it was cheap as hell, because it's like basically from a scratch and dent pile. And so okay. It was like really cheap, and it was Michael Myers, and I didn't have a lot of Michael Myers.
Do you know what, like, the Chase... Oh, go ahead.
The Toonie Terrors Ghostface is pretty easy, and this is just a regular Michael Myers Funko Pop.
Well, so anything that's cut off, I would get the same as you, and then, like, just put it to where it looks like it's, like, continuing onto my screen, and then I'll have my own shit, you know what I mean?
So I just gotta move it around to where you have really weird stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was just really fucking around, stuff. Really.
Like, this is the official soundtrack to Baron Von Laffo's Halloween Spooky.
Oh, sick, dude. I like how you get, like, I mean...
Keep it in the sink.
I don't know how much of a following that movie has, but either way, you have, like, kind of a one-of-a-kind thing from that movie.
Weirdly enough, when Dylan and I went, I don't know if I ever told the story, Dylan texted me at one point and was like, hey, I met some dudes online and I'm going to go film with them later tonight. Do you want to go? And immediately I was just like, now I have to go make sure you don't fucking die, man.
Right. Yeah. Dude,
and the director of that, they were making a found footage movie and Dylan was acting in it, and the director of that randomly owned a copy of Baron Von Laffo's Halloween Spookathon.
He knew that when he, like, was talking to Dylan about hiring him?
I don't know. I think he probably was like, oh shit, I actually own your movie. If you want to come shoot with us, go ahead. And then, I mean, yeah, I just hung out on set and watched found footage get made and tried not to talk to the guy because he was way into found footage and I'm way not into it.
So. Yeah. Like the South Park episode where Randy just keeps saying he's so startled. Oh, I'm so startled right now.
Yeah. I did learn, like, some kind of tricks of the trade with found footage that night, though, which made a little more sense to me. Like, they use shaky cam to transition easier. Like, if I'm going to, like, duck the camera here and shake it, then I can just reshake and come up in any location, and it's just going to be immediate. And it's like, okay, that's fine, I guess, that they do that, but I still think it sucks.
It's just a device. I mean, I do not share the sentiment of I just hate found footage, because, like, there's some gems that I fucking love. Have you seen Spree yet with Steve from Stranger Things?
No.
That's a really good found footage, and then Deadstream, obviously, we both love, but
Deadstream is one of, like, two found footage movies I like, so.
Yeah, and it's, like, pretty unconventional for a found footage, so.
Yeah, they, like, didn't have shaky cam in that at all, so it helped a lot. That movie was a comedy as well, that helped.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you think, like, I don't know. What do you think about comedy and horror movies? Do you have, like, a general opinion on it? Or I think, like, just maybe some movies, like, make it work really well. And, like, that's that.
I think if you're going to do it, you just have to acknowledge that you're doing it from the start. And I mean, it has to work with it. I'm always, like, pretty much down for whatever as long as it fits the rules of that the movie sets, right? So, yeah. Like, kind of like with A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 6, Freddy's Dead, that movie felt like it was playing with its own rules a lot, and that kind of bothered me. That was the one thing that kind of bothered me. Like, it felt like he couldn't leave the town, and then something happened so he could all of a sudden leave the town.
Freddy like, well, Looney Tunes them through the fucking barrier or whatever.
That movie, let's fuck it. Let's go into it. Freddy's
yeah, I know. Let's nightmare. Let's get
welcome
up.
Welcome to the spooky movie double feature show, ladies we didn't mean to do 2 part 6s. We meant to do horror icons that jump the shark. You picked Halloween 6. I picked Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. First movie I wanted to talk about is Freddy's Dead, just because Halloween Part 6 has a lot to unpack. There's a lot to that movie. You even kind of have to talk about Halloween 5, which really sucks, but...
Yeah, I have questions, because I didn't rewatch Halloween 5, or... I also have questions about Final Nightmare, because is there any connection... Okay, we're talking about Halloween 6 first. So, what's the connection between Halloween 5 to Halloween 6?
So, it is kind
That's where Jamie... Like, so Jamie at ends the end.
Up, no, that's Halloween 4, where Jamie winds up at the end. And they were going to carry on, because Halloween 4 kind of kills Michael Myers. And then Halloween 5 comes out. They started shooting without a finished script. They had no idea where the movie was going to go. The man in black that just walks around was made up. He was never in the script for Halloween 5. He was made up to kind of fill in plot holes. And then... they did not bring the same writing team back for Halloween 6. So 6 had to just completely... 6 had to conclude this entire Thorne story without having any fucking idea what to do. It's why Halloween 6 took 5 years to come out. And that's why if you watch it... even if you watch Halloween 5, it might still be a very confusing movie. Like, Halloween 6 feels like it is jumping all over the fucking place. It's boring. The Weinsteins got their hands on it and really fucked with it. That's why there's a producer's cut and a theatrical cut.
They clipped the movie?
So they like would clip actresses out because they thought their nose was too pointy, and they would like shoot around a bunch, and they were like, it needs to be fucking bloodier.
Clips of the movie and then sold it to, YouTube shorts.
And it's stuff that doesn't even make sense that they clipped out. Like, I don't know if you remember this, in the beginning of the movie when the dad, who's just an asshole and kind of reminds me of Biff from Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought, because you first see him from a far away shot. I was like, oh my god, Biff's in the movie, and then like no. He pushes in on the table, and it's just some guy who kind of looks like him and Jim Gaffigan mixed or something.
Yeah, but there's a point in the movie where he yells at his wife. He's like, why don't you just give her all of our fucking money? And he pulls his money out. They cut the small clip of her sliding, of the mom sliding money to the daughter that made his next line make sense. And that is all over this movie, where they
like
just,
a less than a second clip.
It was just, you could have kept the same dialogue over it. It's just her sliding money to the daughter for whatever, and they just cut that little. It is so fucking weird. Halloween 6 is really polarizing, but there is no redeeming quality to watching either fucking copy of it. It is just bad.
I don't think I hated it as much as you. I watched the screener, so that's like before the movie's even theatrically released. So I think there was some elements of the producer's cut, but I mostly watched the theatrical cut.
Okay, was Michael Myers the baby's dad at the end?
No, there was no shot of Michael fucking Jamie or whatever that thing is. Yeah,
that's producer's cut. And like, I mean, say what you want about the Weinsteins. Cut that shit. Like, no one wants to see that.
I know, yeah. And Michael fucking is so out of character for him. I mean, I know this, like, the movie, like, it's kind of a different Michael. He's being, like, controlled or whatever. But, like, Michael fucking is, like, the worst thing I feel like he could do for that character.
But even then, like, they're trying to explain the cult, the Thorn cult thing, but they don't ever really just explain it. You're kind of supposed to piece it together, but this movie is all over the fucking place. And you have to deal with them, like, oh, that's another thing. So you see the guy, the dude who's hosting... like, the Halloween event, he's hosting the interview, he's like, fuck it, we'll go to the Myers house, and then he can't find his van, so he gets into that one van that Michael kills him in. They cut the part that shows that that's the Smith Grove van. And it also shows while he's getting stabbed that his van was like two parking spots over. So he was almost like, so it's like, because you watch the theatrical cut and you're like, why is Michael just in this random dude's van waiting for him? Like, it makes no fucking sense. But yeah,
there was there's several moments in this movie where I'm just, I was just questioning like, what the, like, why are we here? You know, what just happened? What just happened was the question I asked the most, probably.
Yeah, and it, yeah, to the point where I watched a good chunk of this last night, and this morning I decided to finish it, and I had no idea what was going on. So I had to rewind the fucking thing, and I couldn't. Nothing looked like familiar, so I just rewatched the damn movie this morning.
Wow, and
it is. For, I mean, I will say there's certain spot. It kind of hits a fall vibe, like a 90s fall.
I was just gonna ask you that. What do you think of the Halloween vibe? Because we are like, you know, this is September 1st, breaking down the barrier. But yeah, this is September 1st. Yeah. We're recording this.
We've officially hit spooky season. I've already watched a couple of spooky flicks to get my. I always watch Ghostbusters at the start of the spooky season.
And OG one.
Yeah, 84. And we were just watching the Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion movie.
Nice. That's a good one. I think that's a good one to get into the vibe.
That's the type of shit that I love for spooky season.
Yeah, for sure.
Stuff that nails the vibe.
I mean, kids' movies usually nail the vibe more so than, like, you know, horror. I mean, Halloween's set on Halloween and stuff, but, like, they don't focus on the theme of Halloween necessarily, you know?
Yeah. It's usually just a lot of jack-o'-lanterns and stuff.
And then kids' movies focus on the theme, and they got those fucking stick-on decorations on the windows and shit.
Like, this one... But so, like, Halloween 6, I do think it kind of nailed the vibe. I would say the only redeeming... The only reason to watch this movie is this is the official final appearance of Donald Pleasance playing Dr. Loomis, to the point where the theatrical cut has less of him because he died before they could even do the reshoots for the theatrical cut. So there is a reason to watch it, I guess, because, I mean, that guy just could not say no to the franchise, I guess. He just, because he was post having a stroke at the point in this movie, you know, like him walking with a cane, that was real. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You can kind of tell too. He see, or like, I don't know if you could tell if he had a stroke, my man, but, you know, he does seem a little, he almost seems drunk a little bit or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I guess that's him walking with a cane.
Now I am happy that unofficially he did appear in Halloween Kills and he did get a credit posthumously. Okay. So he does, no longer is his name being associated with his final film appearance was this pile of dog shit.
Yeah, the first card on the credits is in loving memory of Donald Pleasance is the version I watched at least.
The man who showed up, he just always showed up whenever they needed him.
What do you think of Paul Rudd's acting here? I feel like he kind of was trying to channel Loomis or something. I don't think he does a great job in this movie.
I don't know if he does a great job, but I don't know if anybody's really doing that great of a job. Like, I don't know if the director just wasn't... The studio, clearly, you read about the shit that was going on with Halloween 5, and then you read about the shit that was going on with this. And even though the Weinsteins were kind of hands-on because Dimension had just bought the rights, you get the feeling the studio... Their entire mindset was just put out a Halloween movie. People will go see it. We'll make money. They didn't care. Yeah. Like, obviously. I mean, because if you're going to introduce things, you bring the writer back to see what the fuck they actually had in mind. But they wouldn't even go to that extent because these movies traditionally have been made very cheap. Slashers are usually a cheaper movie to make. And they bring in a lot of money, especially a big one like Halloween. But this movie took 5 years to come out. I don't even know why you fucking tried to follow up Halloween 5. I'd have just made up something. This is where you made... If H2O had come out here, everybody would just say Halloween 5 sucks and move on.
Instead of the trilogy sucked. Or no, people like Halloween 4.
Halloween 4 is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Halloween 4 is a lot of fun, and that's kind of like a pseudo-retelling of the first one, because... The last we saw Donald Pleasance and Michael Myers in Halloween 2, they had blown up. So, man.
he always comes back, man.
Yeah. What do you think of the look of Michael in this movie?
It's pretty shitty. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it. Like, if he's being controlled, why do they even have him wear the mask? Like, in the first one, he just, like, broke into a store and got it, you know? That's not a part of him, necessarily.
It almost ties into that Ninja Turtle thing. Like, everybody already knows his name. He'd actually hide himself better without the mask.
Without the mask, yeah. He could walk through the town and just go kill people as he pleases.
Yeah. And then, like, I mean, as far as kills go, I really didn't think this movie had very many good kills. Nothing overly memorable, at least. The next snap in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, I read that the theatrical cut was supposed to be more gory and stuff, but, like, I really didn't see,
it's,
like...
It's still little things. So, again, that next snap I just mentioned.
Yeah,
in the producer's cut, his head turns and you hear the snap. In the theatrical cut, you see, like, the spinal column a little bit, like, there's a little bit more gore. I think when he stabs the nurse or whoever on the hook in the, wherever the hell Jamie had this baby.
I know, yeah. It is confusing. And then they don't go back there for the final sequence.
No, they go, like, to Smith Grove,
I thought that was the place where shit happened.
Unless that was Smith Grove at the beginning, and they just never fucking explained it, because this movie is really, really bad. It's hard to... And what really makes it bad is the movie's just fucking boring for most of it.
Yeah. One part of it I liked is when they're like, they don't explain this, but there's like a radio show happening in like the town square or something. And I liked, like, I just liked that it was a Halloween party, I guess. And there was like a spectacle in the town. But like, other than that, there was nothing really compelling.
Nothing
like,
even slightly compelling.
Yeah. This, I also agree, it was bad. I don't think I was as bored as you, but yeah.
I just couldn't get into it at all, to the point where even just seeing Paul Rudd didn't make me happy. I was like, oh, right, yeah, this is the one with him in it.
Yeah, from the first time you see him and he's talking, like, all kind of like a troubled emo kid or some shit, like, I was like, I don't really gel with this.
Should touch on the fact that he is playing Tommy Doyle, who was the original movie, and you see him ultimately meet his demise in Halloween Kills. Right? That's... I'm pretty sure.
It is Halloween Kills.
Because Halloween 2018 ignored everything other than the first movie.
I think they should have brought Paul Rudd back for that, but I guess Jamie Lee Curtis is significantly older, so... But he was younger than her in the first one, so it would have been fine.
It would have worked out. I mean, and it would have been a cool nod if you had brought Paul Rudd back, but I'm sure it would have been expensive, because I highly doubt... Versus what we'll see in the next movie that we cover with Freddy's Dead, I don't think Paul Rudd thinks back on Halloween 6 very fondly. This is, I believe, his feature film debut.
Yeah, but it is. He's credited, like, introducing and starring Paul Steven Rudd.
Yeah, but I would be surprised if he even remembers which Halloween he was in.
Yeah.
I would be shocked. If you were to ask him about it, he'd probably say, like, yeah, I was in a Halloween, and it was one of the later ones. And
Revenge of, Curse of, Incest of, one of those. Of
Incestrial, yeah. That is actually another thing. You know how Paul Rudd runs into Donald Pleasance at the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
And there's, like, no reason for Donald Pleasance to be there? That's because in the theatrical cut, they don't show you that Jamie actually lived from the Michael Myers.
Yeah, she died real suddenly, and, like, it was pretty gory. I like the kill,
that
but
was a decent kill.
It would have been nice if she, like, I don't know. You didn't really see what happens to the baby until later. She, like, faked him out or whatever, but I don't know, it felt kind of pointless, that whole chase scene, if she's just gonna, like, she had nothing else to do with the story past just having the baby, you
and
know?
Hiding it in a fucking cabinet. Yeah.
I hope somebody finds you.
And somehow Paul Rudd knew exactly where to go find the baby.
Yeah, there is some sort of connection. I guess it's just because he was almost killed by Michael earlier, but he does seem to like have some sort of like knowledge past just like
normalcy. He encountered Michael on the first night, and he's really into it because they canceled Halloween because of the Myers kills. Yeah. They said it's like he's like the worst serial killer in the history of serial killers, which I don't think if you add up his kills from the first four. I think it's kind of a stretch. I guess, well, since you are counting Halloween 4 and 5, he did kill a lot, but...
I've listened to some great true crime podcasts. There's this, like, murder barn up in, like, Minnesota or some shit where, like, this fool killed, like, hundreds of people, you know what I mean?
A murder barn.
Yeah, he had a murder barn where he would, like... hang people up on hooks and like bloodlet them and shit, and then I don't know if they were cannibals, I forget, but yeah. Michael isn't the most prolific serial killer.
No, I don't even know if he's the most prolific if you stack him up, if you take the kill counts of everybody. Like, I know Freddy is pretty close to the bottom because he doesn't really kill all that many people, but I don't know if Michael's got, I doubt Michael has Jason beat.
Oh yeah. Jason's killing somebody every 10 minutes.
We'd have to ask that guy from that YouTube channel who has the most, but yeah, I'm sure he's hard to get a hold of.
He's too busy counting.
Yeah, he's too busy putting on a persona. And
shade. Counting. No, I'm just playing. He just has his friends there because he only has 10 fingers.
Yeah. That's the only reason he hires people.
I need hands. I need hands.
I need hands. But yeah, final thoughts. Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, which I still am not 100% sure on what the curse is.
I wish I watched the producer's cut because I feel like I would like a cult explanation if they went really into like the cultness of it. And maybe if Michael wasn't being controlled the whole time, because, you know, he is just supposed to be evil and shit. Yeah. I mean, it would if he had, like, three skeleton fish, like, float into him, and then, like, that's why he's evil, I would like that better.
I just have always hated this idea that we need an explanation for Michael Myers. It's like, have one guy that's pure evil. That's why I hate the Rob Zombie movies so much. That's why...
He's like white trash, and that's why he kills.
He's just white trash.
I'm white trash, and I'm in trouble.
I'm white trash. My mom's Cheryl Moon Zombie. I'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. That's Halloween 6. I give it 2 skulls out of 40.
I'll give it 5 bags of popcorn.
5 bags of popcorn out of?
Yeah. Oh, it's just 5.
Oh, it's just 5. Okay.
Yeah.
He just
Do you not, 5. Have I not popcorn. Explained? I think I have before the Greg Turkington, Tim Heidecker bit. They do on cinema at the cinema, and like everything they review just gets 5 bags of popcorn. I thought you were privy to that when because I've said it for like 2 or 3 movies now.
I'm not sure. I just like, but yeah, that's Halloween 6. On to the fun movie, Kyle. Was this your first time seeing Freddy's Dead?
No, I've seen all the nightmares before, but it's been a long ass time, and this shit is crazy, bro.
This movie has everything.
They just have abandoned Freddy being, like, terrorizing. Like, he terrorizes people, but on screen, he's not terrorizing. He never even, like, really jump scares anybody anymore. Like,
no, you see him walking behind Carlos as he fucks with him. Like,
they
turn him into a straight-up Looney Tune. But for what it's worth, I have so much fun watching this movie.
Dude, yeah, this shit was awesome. Like, you're kind of waiting for, like, what the fuck else? How else is he gonna kill the next person, like?
Oh, dude, and he makes a Nintendo Power reference. He references Nintendo's Power Glove.
He says, now you're playing with power, and no way Nintendo would license. There's no way Nintendo would license that shit, but they did it anyway. No,
but there was a Nightmare on Elm Street NES game, so maybe they were just trying to plug the fact that there was a game. But if there's one thing I will say about this movie, that is just a huge compliment, and it is not the acting. It is the Carlos kill is pretty great.
You like that? I mean, I thought it was fun.
I really enjoy a lot of that kill. You're just watching. There's something about watching Robert Englund have fun as this character that just makes this movie so endearing to me.
Yeah. Do you ever see Robert Englund not in Freddy makeup in other movies?
Maybe.
Maybe in like the first one.
You see him as the bus driver, not in makeup, I think in the first one. Maybe the second one.
Or that seems familiar. Yeah. He's driving a bus in this one too.
And it also might be, I think you see him not in the makeup in Freddy versus Jason, but that was afterwards. But no, I fully embrace this whole Looney Tunes Freddy thing. I also think it's funny that there's just a town with no children and Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne and then Tom Arnold, two stand-ups for some reason got in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, dude, this movie just didn't even give a shit. It's awesome to see Johnny Depp come back.
I didn't see that. Wait,
Johnny Depp? Oh, yeah, you missed the Johnny Depp cameo?
He's the one getting a drink, your brain on drugs. I didn't recognize him. Wow.
That's Johnny Depp. That's fucking Johnny goddamn Depp. And there's also Alice Cooper plays Freddy's dad.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
I missed the Johnny Depp one.
Well, I guess you gotta watch the movie again. But
I mean, it's not too bad. So.
This movie, we have to grade it as a Freddy movie, right? So we got to grade it on the teens. What do we think of the teens? What do we think of oozing toxic masculinity blonde woman?
Yeah. you know, she's just like that archetype through and through. She's fine. She's not my favorite. Like, she's just kind of there to like throw weapons at... not Nancy. What's her name? Maggie?
Maggie. I kept singing the Rod Stewart song. Wake up, Maggie.
Yeah, she's just there to throw weapons at Maggie at the end, which was pretty funny.
We have the black guy in this movie plays Gort in Halloween Town 2, so he's legend of the horror community, that guy.
Pillar of the horror community.
Really, you know, like there's Tony Todd and then there's that guy. This movie, so much fun. You get to watch Robert Englund push a bed of spikes onto a road for somebody to fall onto.
Yeah, there's some great fucking kills. In terms of the teens, I love Carlos. Then obviously his kill is like, It's pretty creative. I like when the pins were falling, I didn't really get that, like, because like the water was making a louder sound than that, and then like he dropped like 100 of them and he was fine afterward. But like, you know, it's just like a weird kill that has to do with hearing, and it's great. It's fine. I really like how his head explodes.
Yeah, his head explodes. It's really good. Yeah, because then we get, was it Sean? Was Sean the stoner?
Yeah. And I think of Sean Penn, so yeah.
Yeah,
he kind of looks like Sean Penn a little bit. Like,
this movie has everything. It's got not Sean Penn. I had something for Carlos. I said not Macchio for nice, Carlos, not Ralph Macchio. And Gort. And Gort, yeah. And then plenty. And this movie also gets pretty heavy into the... You finally figure out why he decided to start murdering children. And it's, but I,
do that was you, ridiculous
because it says like he started killing the children because they took his daughter away. But it's like, okay, well then what was that basement all about? Were you not already murdering children with the,
he was raping. I mean, he's, you know, it's established in the first movie. He's like a pedophile or whatever.
They never confirm it in the original timeline.
But they do say, like, that he was with kids in the shed or whatever, right?
It's only the remake that ever confirms it.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, it's been a minute since I've seen, the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, well, then, I don't fucking know.
it was very confusing to me. Yeah, they were like, well, he started killing the kids because they took his kid away. But they didn't take his kid away until after his wife, he killed his wife.
And they never show the kid being taken away.
Basement. They never show that. And then he just gets chosen by ancient Sumerian dream demons or whatever the hell to become.
Why are they skeleton fish? Like, it was so bad. And then they're like witty and shit, or they have like some chemistry. They're like fucking. Yeah. Yeah, like, not really stooges. Serious yeah. about possessing, yeah.
Well, you don't really see them until the movie becomes a 3D movie. So, I think at that point... Yeah, that's
one thing I saw. It's supposed to be a 3D movie, and, like, I didn't really see very many 3D gags, so I was wondering what the fuck.
I don't think it's once she puts the glasses on to go into the dream. That's when it becomes a 3D movie.
Okay, that's so just one section of it.
Yeah, that's it. And that's when this movie really decides to jump the shark, because back in the day, they just loved throwing stuff at the screen once it was in 3D. Like, I'm sure every weapon that, Blonde Woman, was that Tracy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure every weapon Tracy threw was in 3D. The explosions. Yeah, yeah. You see Freddy's head fly at the screen after he blows up in 3D.
He cut like a Matryoshka doll comes out of his own head and then explodes again. It's pretty ridiculous.
This movie does have some solid practical effects, though, when it is showing like some good practical effects. I forget.
That whole... When she goes into his head and like his memories... Like, that looks kind of practical. I don't know how they did that.
Looks great.
But it looks like, I don't know if you ever played Ocarina of Time, Legend of Zelda.
I did, yeah.
Inside Jabu's belly. It's very reminiscent of that. And then the very next scene, she's in this, like, checkerboard floor pattern room that looks like a puzzle room from the Forest Temple in that game, too. I don't know if they drew inspiration from Zelda, but yeah. Well, I guess this came out in 95 and Zelda's, like, 98, so... I guess not.
So maybe Ocarina of Time, maybe Miyamoto was really ripping, loving some Freddy.
Yeah, this like weird, shitty Freddy movie.
It would have been for sure confirmed if Link walked into a classroom where some crazy-ass teacher was just giving a history of Ganondorf.
Yeah. Ganondorf just had a knife hands in that game.
I also want to know why nobody moved away from Springwood.
I love that, actually. I love that the town... Well, like, you know, there's that explanation in the beginning of all the children left or something, but, like, the town is experiencing mass psychosis. I love that.
Okay. So, yeah. Freddy just had a hold on everyone. I want to know the rules of Freddy, though, at this point, because, like, does he just go, like, oh, my God, that one's turning 18 soon. I've got to murder him soon.
Yeah, why doesn't he ever haunt... Like, just, you never see him haunt the children. Apparently, he got rid of all the children in Springwood, but yeah.
He murdered them all.
He killed
every child in Springwood, Ohio, which, okay, it's not a great look for Ohio, but...
Another fucking mark on Ohio's rap sheet.
Yeah, Freddy killed all the kids in Springwood.
I love the mass psychosis town thing. You didn't, or what, are you just questioning it?
Just questioning it, yeah, because, I mean, obviously, like, though I am fully on the record as saying this is in my top five favorite Freddy movies, there's not a whole lot to choose from, but I really, really enjoy watching this movie. It's still bullshit.
Yeah, it's entirely bullshit. I also, in this movie, was asking, like, what just happened? But it's fun, and that's why it's, like, a fun watch, you know?
It's really fun. Like, the map gag, where Carlos
I love that.
20 minutes, or it unfolds to where it completely encompasses the band, and then it just says, you're fucked. And then, Tracy, who just asked for the map, does not get handed the map. She just swaps places with Sean.
Yeah, he just says, I'll try, or like, let me try.
Yeah, which you would be freaking out way harder.
Oh, for sure.
You couldn't find a way out of the town, and then they just break and enter into a place.
Yeah, and that happens to be Freddy's place.
Yeah, I think it was 1428 Elm. Which I think it's supposed to be like Nancy's house from the first one, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, why is he so connected with that house too? Because like, just Nancy lived there, you know.
Yeah.
Did the guy from the second movie move in there?
Maybe That might, I think so, yeah, because he finds Nancy's journal. Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then Nancy's in part three. Heather Langenkamp, I believe is her name. And she's a bad actress. I love her as Nancy, but she's not good.
I haven't seen her in anything else.
There's a reason. Well, you might have seen her in Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare, because I think she's in that as well.
You mean The New Nightmare?
New Nightmare. Freddy's New Nightmare, or whatever. Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah, his, like, precursor to Scream, pretty much, that people seem to like. I've never been that big on it, but...
Again, it's like one thing I watched in high school. I don't really remember it. I watched all the Freddy. I loved Freddy so much as a teen, but I've like kind of yet to go back and watch all of them.
I think 1, 2, and 3 all hold up really well.
But... yeah, those are great. I know, and I've went back to those since then. But like the whole catalog, I haven't.
Even though some people don't particularly care for how homosexual Part 2 is.
Oh, the writers, the people who made it, yeah.
Yeah, well, or,
it's not that they don't care, they just don't know.
They're trying
which speaks to how gay they are.
Like, they're trying to say it's not gay, but then the main actor is gay, and he's like, oh, it's a super gay movie.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I've seen that actor's gay. Like, how do you not... How do you cast the gay guy? It.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, the original... I think it's called Scream Queen.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, and he's like, no, yeah, it's like very gay.
I got the role by sucking the director's dick. And he doesn't know it's gay.
Like, I had to blow so many. I blew both the writers.
They got like most ideas I gave to him while fucking giving him head.
Yeah, while fucking slobbing them up, you know?
Yeah, that's always puzzled me, but
I had to blow him at a Korn concert.
Dude, Five Knuckle Shuffle, so funny.
That was John Cena's finish too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he had the Five Knuckle Shuffle in the FU.
Oh man, fucking John Cena, bad boy John Cena's great.
Wow, this is basic thugonomics, John Cena.
Basic thugonomics. What was that? Was that like a WWE storyline?
That was his character. He was a rapper.
Oh, that's why he's always doing shit like that.
He was
that.
A rapper. Yeah, thug life.
Meanwhile, he's like speaking fluent Mandarin in China and like doing accounting commercials.
Yeah. He's just, you know, that's a talented chap. John Cena.
I saw a little interview clip or something where he's like, yeah, I just learned Mandarin on my off time. It's like something I always wanted to do, so I did it. It's like,
yeah, he took advantage of something in the WWE contracts where they'll pay
yeah, that's what it was.
Lessons. Yeah. I don't know why you go to Mandarin, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems weird. It seems like he already was talking to people to do commercials in China or something, and that's why he learned it.
He acknowledges the hierarchy.
Yeah. fucking Zhao Zingping.
But yeah, I guess we can do final thoughts. Kyle, what do you think of Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare?
This is like the perfect crystallization of humor Freddy, where they kind of just abandoned him being scary. He's pretty much not scary. The things he does are horrifying, but, you know.
Yeah. Jumping the shark is pretty much the perfect description of this one.
Yeah. And what kind of sucks is it is, like, the final nightmare. I think this is the last one before New Nightmare, right?
Yeah, this one pretty much wraps up that original continuity. He only really comes back for Freddy versus Jason, which is kind of its own thing.
Yeah. That's the only thing I think that sucks about it is, like that's how it was wrapped up, and there's no like homage to like how actually terrifying like the mix of his humor and terrifyingness, you know, like made him more terrifying in like the first couple, you know.
Well, and this one was supposed to be the last one because part 5 did really bad theatrically. So they just said, fuck it, we'll wrap it up with part six. And then part six actually did really good. And I think that is what led to getting New Nightmare, which ultimately led to Scream for Wes Craven. So, okay. Successful, I would say. This movie played a role, it did it well, and we got Scream out of it, which that first one, that's a masterpiece.
I know. Dude, Wes Craven's, he's prolific as shit, but, I don't know, a lot of his shit's just really up my alley, I feel like. Yeah, have you seen People Under the Stairs?
No, I've seen the other two he's known for. The original Hills Have Eyes and the original Last House on the Left was him.
Yeah.
I've seen those, and they're fine. I'm not huge on Wes Craven as a whole. I just like a handful of the Nightmare on Elm Streets and really only the first Scream movie.
And was he, involved in the other Screams? I mean...
He did the first four. Yeah, he directed the first four, I'm pretty sure. Okay. And again, I only really like the first one. The other ones I could just kind of fucking forget about ever happening, but...
I mean, yeah, I feel like he's just kind of different, and that's what I like. I mean, that Last House on the Left is kind of a slasher after they already came out or whatever, right? But, I don't know, his other shit is pretty different, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the inspiration for Nightmare on Elm Street's pretty cool. There was, a kid who was terrified of going to sleep, and so his parents held him as he went to sleep, and he never did wake up again, and he was really scared of something getting him in his dreams, and I think that was the original, influence for inspiration.
Like, it's somebody he knew?
He was scared of, a boogeyman killing him in his dreams.
Like, Wes Craven knew that guy?
I don't know if Wes Craven knew that guy, but he had heard the story.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a book that tells about the inspiration for every horror movie. And it's a very boring book, but I did read that chapter.
Nice. It's one of those coffee table books you never pick up.
It's more like a toilet book.
Nice.
Because you could just be like, oh yeah, I wonder what the inspiration for Scream was, and pick it up.
Yeah, call back to the episode that just released. That's how Walter White was found out, as a toilet book. He got gifted a toilet book by one of his meth partners, and then his cop brother-in-law fucking was taking a shit and just happened to read that book, and it's found out he was Heisenberg, you know? Because it said, it didn't say two Heisenberg, there's a whole thing. It said two WW, but he was able to piece it together.
Huh.
Beautiful. Great show.
So he turns into a half-decent agent at the end, huh? Wow.
No, he finds it by happenstance.
Okay, so he sucks. God, he just sucks the whole time. Got it. Okay.
Pretty much.
Oh. That's good. That's good to know. Yeah, no Sopranos, but Kyle, we gotta figure out what the fuck we're watching next week.
I haven't given any... Oh, well, I've given some thought. Hold on, let me check my notes.
Some thought. Okay. Well, because I was just going to think we could just do something we've already been talking about, like Coraline, Paranorman, that type deal.
Okay, and that's stuff we've talked about for, spooky season.
Yeah, because we're in now.
Yeah,
we're in the end game now.
We gotta, dive in hard to that vibe. I think that's fine. We could do the kids kind of real spooky vibe thing.
Yeah, okay. You want to do that? Well, so, I mean, obviously I'm going to pick Coraline. Is there anything on your list you want to...
You said Paranorman, which I think, aesthetically matches up to that more. But, if I'm going just off, you want to get into vibes, I want you to watch Over the Garden Wall still.
That's a show, are you willing? Isn't it?
It's supposed to be a movie, so it's broken up into 10 episodes, but, it's a movie.
It plays as a movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you'll get the title card of, the new episode or whatever, but it's just connecting directly to where the last episode left off. The story of it is, these kids are lost in this, alternate world, and, they're kind of traveling throughout it, so, if they leave off in one town at the end of one episode, they'll kind of pick up on the road they're on to the next place they're going. It's so fucking good, dude.
I'm sold. Okay, so Over the Garden Wall and Coraline.
Hell yeah, we're doing it. Okay, now I'm stoked.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure I'm happy to be watching something new as well. So
sweet. Yeah.
So next week.
Poo poo pee pee. Victor Frankenstein is Down syndrome. That's not, his name's not Frankenstein. I don't know. That's something I wrote down. Down syndrome, Victor Frankenstein. All right. End it out, Paul.
Next week, same bat time, same bat channel. We're going to be covering Over the Garden Wall and Coraline because the spooky season is here. If you're listening at home, the spooky season's already been here. But in our world, in our side of the time machine, we just got there. So we're excited. Stick around. Hell, and stay tuned. Spooky Movie Double Feature Show.
Peace!